Wake up. There's no sleeping in on Saturday. It's time for the Paul Santos Show on WBSM. Join Paul as he tackles local issues, current events, and fun conversations. Call 508-996-0500 or send Paul an app chat message on the WBSM app. Hey, hey, hey. Now, here's Paul Santos. What you got to say?
Good morning and welcome to hour number two of the Paul Santos Show. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Welcome to the weekend. We have sunshine today. Temperature is going to be in the low 80s. We're not going to have rain that I can see until Thursday. Tomorrow is going to be even hotter but a little cloudy. But then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, more sunshine in the 80s. Hey, first day of summer yesterday. So we're rolling right into the summer of 2025. What kind of a summer is it going to be? I hope it's a healthy and happy one for you and members of your family. What's on your mind this morning? Got a final hour here to go. I tossed out a few issues there this morning. The first one was the Karen Reed case. And not to re-litigate the case, I think it's been discussed quite a bit. And it'll be interesting to hear what Ken has to say because I know he was friendly with the family of O'Keefe. So his thoughts on it, I think, are important to hear. I know that it's gut-wrenching for him and for that family and for people like Ken who are close to the family. So I think it's, you know, interesting to hear what he has to say. But I wanted to talk about it in the sense that, you know, she got her due process. She got due process. Anytime someone's liberty is being taken away, they're entitled to that due process. And so I think we have to be careful when we pick and choose who gets due process. If Charles Manson doesn't get due process, if that man on Tallman Street doesn't get due process, if that guy Garcia, who did get returned to the United States, by the way, doesn't get due process, then you don't get it, and I don't get it. Because the accuser has to be held accountable. We can't just go by what the accuser says. So if it's true that those officers were not telling the truth, and I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what the accusation is, that the officers were coming in with unclean hands, that they weren't telling the truth. Well, that's why we have a standard. So if we're not going to take the district attorney's office up there for what they say about it, if we're not going to take the word of the state police, if we're not going to take the word of the Dedham police when an accusation is made, how come we have to take the word of ICE? Can't take their word for it. You're going to make an accusation against somebody, you have to back it up with something. Now, in the case of, say, like an immigration situation, you don't get the highest level of due process, proof beyond a reasonable doubt, because in theory, you're not being put in prison, although that has happened, or there was an attempt that that would happen. The only penalty there is deportation. So you don't have proof beyond a reasonable doubt. You have a hearing before an administrative law judge. So the idea that, well, we haven't got time for a 1 year, 2 month, 10 month trial. Well, that's somebody doesn't know what they're talking about because it wouldn't be a 10 month trial. It's just to make sure that you who's listening to me right now, if you are accused of anything, you have a right to make the accuser prove it. It's basic. It's fourth grade civics. And that's the first thing. Number two, what would possess somebody to actually pick up signs and go up to the courthouse and chant outside of the courthouse? That strikes me as being dangerous. Does anybody have a feeling that that's dangerous? Because the jury is supposed to make the decision based on the evidence that's before the jury. It's not supposed to be, you know, you're sitting on the jury and you're hearing chants outside and you're thinking, oh boy, if I don't go along with this mob, me and my family are going to be in trouble. No, you're supposed to decide it on the evidence and the evidence alone, whether or not there's proof beyond a reasonable doubt, not based on the mob that's outside. So I think there really should be some distance. They talk about distances between, say, an abortion clinic and a protester. Well, I think there should be a distance between the protesters and how close you can get to a criminal case, because I think that the jury really is not there to be influenced. Suppose the jury gets influenced. Suppose the jury has fear. Suppose the jury is thinking, oh, geez, you know, I better find a certain where that mob is not going to be happy. So I think that when it comes to due process, we have to be consistent, not inconsistent. Number two, when it comes to Israel and Iran versus Ukraine and Russia, isn't that an inconsistent policy? Isn't what Russia did to Ukraine as horrific as what, say, Hamas has done to Israel? They're both terribly horrific. So why are we responding so strongly in this case, but not so strongly in the other case? Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul.
Hi.
I've been a long-time listener of your show, and I'm first-time caller of your show.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that. I love the first-time callers, too, along with the regulars.
Yes, I heard you talking about the Cameron Reed trial, and I've been following it, and I've been also calling into Ken Pittman's show, giving my opinion.
Okay.
And I do hope John O'Keefe does get the justice he deserves, and I will be supporting the O'Keefe family to see that justice is served for John O'Keefe. And the true killers are apprehended and come forth. As far as the jurors, I guess a lot of the jurors now, Paul, are speaking out. As a matter of fact, one of your former colleagues at WBSM, Jessica Machado, got an exclusive interview with, a woman.
Yes, I saw that.
And also John DePietro got an interview with an alternate that wasn't selected to do the deliberations. But I would suggest that yourself and Ken Pittman probably be interested in hearing what that jury
said. Well, I know the first juror, the one that Jessica spoke to, just talked about proof beyond a reasonable doubt, not so much whether they believe the accusation against the officers. But what did the second juror say?
He was talking about the witnesses. He couldn't believe the expert witness that the prosecutor put forth with the paint on his arm. He found that laughable. He couldn't believe that the prosecution would put a so-called expert like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was convinced by the end of the trials, both of them, that Cameron Reed was innocent. Not just they couldn't prove it, but they felt in their hearts that she was actually innocent.
And that's what you think, too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
and I think we all know who's out there that is probably the ones that unfortunately took the life of John O'Keefe. And I do pray and hope that justice is served for John O'Keefe and the real killers are charged and brought to justice.
Right. Well, I'll be interested to hear what Ken has to say at 9 o'clock. I'm sure he's going to have some thoughts about it as well.
My sympathies to Ken and his wife. His wife is, as he has said, is related, and I hope if he's listening, he expresses that I am supporting his wife's family also, that her cousin gets justice.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the comments about you listening, and call again.
Okay, Paul. Have a great day.
And you too. 508-996-0500 if you'd like to get in on the discussion. I think that this caller speaks for a lot of people that have followed the case, that people thought that there was corruption going on and the side of the accusers and stuff like that, and that may or may not be true. But what I would say is that she got due process, that an accusation was made against her, and the accusers have to prove it. And if the accusers can't prove it, she's entitled to be released. And so how is that different than if I accuse you of being an illegal alien? Or if I accuse you of being in a gang, that doesn't mean I can just swipe you up and drop you off in El Salvador. You have a right to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not in any gang. Hey, wait a minute, I'm not an illegal alien. Hey, wait a minute, you're wrong. The accuser is wrong. And that's in the Constitution. It's in the Fifth Amendment. It's in the 14th Amendment. And when it comes to crimes being committed in the United States, we're going to take away your liberty. It's in the Sixth Amendment. So, you know, the way I look at it is the Constitution is what we should be celebrating. In fact, on the 4th of July, we're celebrating the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, but we're also celebrating our country, the United States of America, that stands for these principles. And these principles should not be compromised. The principles that are in the Constitution, even the difficult ones, like the First Amendment, when somebody's saying something that you agree with, you're much more likely to put up with their ranting and raving or, say, disrupting a proceeding. But then if they're ranting and raving and disrupting a proceeding and you don't agree with them, then you want them carried out and dragged out of the room. That's the temptation. That's the temptation. If you agree with the speaker, oh, you're all gung-ho about it. But if you disagree with the speaker, you don't want to hear it. No, that's what makes being an American difficult. That's what makes us the leader of the world. That's what makes us the last great hope of the world, as Ronald Reagan once said. So, again, I think everybody's entitled to due process. Everybody's entitled to be able to defend the accusation against them, no matter who you are, because that's what makes America great. That's what makes our country different. That's what makes our country the leader of the free world. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, you have one thing wrong there.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Constitution is for American citizens, not people that jumped over the border illegally.
Yes, how do you tell the difference?
What do you mean?
Well, how do you tell the difference? In other words, let's say I accuse you of being an illegal alien, you know? Don't you have a right to say, no, I'm not. What are you talking about?
Right. You show your license,
exactly.
Your ID,
exactly.
Whatever paperwork you have.
Correct. That's right.
So once they grab you and they get your ID and they run you, they know if you're legal or illegal.
Well, who's they?
Who picks them up?
That's ICE. Now, wait, hang on a second. So the ICE is equivalent to the police in the Karen Reed case. They're the accuser.
Right.
So that person has a right to say, wait a minute. ICE has it wrong. Let me go in front of an administrative law judge and let me show you that I am an American citizen and that I'm not a member of a gang. It doesn't take that long to do that, just to make sure that there's no corruption within ICE.
You're going to do that for 10 million of them? I guess we'll be doing that for the next 100 years.
Doesn't take long.
Yeah, okay. You're living in a fantasy world.
All right. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Do you believe in the Constitution or not?
Illegal.
Do you believe in the Constitution?
You're wrong.
Hang on a second.
Constitution.
Okay, do you have it before you? I've got it right here. I've got the Fifth Amendment.
I'm driving.
Yeah, I don't think you've read it. The Fifth Amendment said no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, without due process of law. No person. Doesn't say anything about American citizen. So suppose like a crooked ICE member, just like the crooked people that accuse Karen Reed, let's say they accuse you
Believe
of something.
Me,
Wait
I'm
a minute,
not-
hang on a second. Suppose they accuse you of being an illegal alien. You should be able to go before a administrative law judge and said, hey, ICE is lying. Just like Karen Reed did, isn't that right?
How many of them have they found out that they picked up actually weren't illegal?
Well, probably not that many, but so what? How many people? Okay. Wait a minute. How many times do the police charge people and most of them are guilty, but not all of them?
No.
So I understand. Hang on a second. I understand your frustration.
Talk, will you? I'm just going to hang up.
No. Go ahead. I want to hear. No. Go ahead. I want to hear. Go ahead.
You're ignorant.
Go ahead. I'm letting you go. I'm letting you talk.
I'm done with you.
Yeah. I guess you can't read. I guess you're not literate. Why don't you read the Constitution? There's a guy who's illiterate. Okay. I'm reading from the Constitution. You buffoon. No person. Let me spell it for you. I don't know. Can you spell? P-E-R-S-O-N. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, without due process of law. You're wrong. That's not what it says. You're wrong. No, you're wrong. Read the Constitution. If you don't believe in the Constitution, I'm sorry. Then move to North Korea, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get accused of being an illegal alien, you should be able to say, you got it wrong, Mr. Rice. Maybe Mr. Rice is crooked like the Dedham police. You can't pick and choose due process. This is basic fourth grade stuff. The guy says, I'm ignorant. I guess he hasn't read the Constitution. I got it right here. Why don't you try reading it? It's a really good document, by the way. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. You really should read it sometime, you know? I mean, I'm reading it right from the document. I'm sorry it doesn't say what you want it to say. You can't pick and choose when you like the Constitution and when you don't. You have to be able to follow it at all times. So I'm sure that that person right there, if that person that just called me was falsely accused of something, oh, God, he'd be running for the Constitution. He'd be running for the Declaration of Independence. He'd be saying, can they do that? You know, I've had this, you know, when I was in practice, right? I used to get a kick out of the Mr. Crime, you know, Mr. Crime Fighter. He'd be like, oh, you know, that criminal court, they didn't put enough people in jail. Can you believe that? Hey, my son just got pulled over by the cops, and they're saying that, you know, his license was suspended. Can they do that? They didn't read him his rights. It's like, what are you talking about? Is it a different story now, sir? Different story now? Oh, God. I just can't understand why you can't read it. I'm certainly please pick up the Constitution and read the Fifth Amendment, assuming you can read. It says, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. That's what it says. So we're either going to live up to it or we're not. Jesus. Back in a moment here on WBSM, 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. We're having a lot of fun playing the Jaws theme. I'm hearing a lot about Jaws 50th anniversary, and we're ahead of the curve because we spent a whole show talking about it with looking back on talk show host Henry Carrero, who was here for a long time at WBSM and then over in Fall River after that as a talk show host, and he was in the movie. And I thank the son-in-law for dropping off this book, On Location on Martha's Vineyard, The Making of the Movie Jaws by Edith Blake. Just started to read it, not done with it yet. There are some fantastic pictures in here, including one of Henry Carrero himself. So when I get done with this book, I'll be happy to return it to you. I wasn't sure if this was an extra copy. Anytime you want to reach out to me, I will certainly return it. I just want to finish reading it, though, because it looks like it's fantastic. I only got a little ways in because I got kind of crazy busy this week, but I definitely want to go through the rest of it because I think it's going to be a terrific read. It already is in the beginning of the book. But anyway, real quick, today in Fairhaven, hopefully we'll see you over there from 11 to 4, the 50th anniversary of Jaws. It's the Huddleston Harbor Fest. It takes place at Grimshaw Park at Fort Phoenix in Fairhaven. Goes on, as I said, from 11 to 4. It has, you know, really a sensational lineup with, you know, different ocean-themed fun, local vendors, seafood. It also has food truck bites with a little bit of a seaside twist. And to really close the deal, grab a blanket and stay for a free outdoor showing of Jaws at dusk. So you can actually see the movie at dusk out there. That sounds like that would be fun. I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I definitely want to swing by the event and check out what they have over there. I think that would be fun on a beautiful sunny day. And if you want to get more details about this event, you can go to www.discoverfairhaven.org. That's www.discoverfairhaven.org. And there's also one on Martha's Vineyard. Maybe you're not going to make it down there, but they have at the Martha's Vineyard Museum, they have festivities going on this weekend, but then the exhibit that they have there about Jaws is going to be, I think, going on through around July 24th or so. So you have a chance to go down there and check that out. So what's on your mind today? 508-996-0500, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. In the Karen Reed case, they were not able to prove her guilty to a moral certainty, which is also part of the reasonable doubt standard. I actually brought in the jury instruction that's used in criminal cases. And I got to tell you, when I was doing criminal defense, I was a prosecutor for almost 7 years, criminal defense almost 20 years. And in the reasonable doubt instruction, it says a charge is proved beyond a reasonable doubt if, after you have compared and considered all of the evidence, you have in your minds an abiding conviction to a moral certainty that the charge is true. When we refer to moral certainty, goes the charge. We mean the highest degree of certainty possible in matters relating to human affairs, based solely on the evidence that has been put before you in the case, and the feeling that there's a strong possibility, even if it's a strong possibility, that is still not enough. Now, that's in a criminal case, not in a civil case, but in a criminal case. And that's the standard that has to be proven. All right, 508-996-0500. Let's go back to our phones. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you?
I called you once before with this, and you didn't like it. So I decided to call you a second time so you can...
I'm not going to like it the second time either. I'm not going to like it the second time, right?
I want you to not like it. I like that.
Okay, all right. We'll mix it up a little bit.
The Constitution that you're talking about,
yes,
went into effect in the year 1789. It was signed in 87.
Okay.
But 1789, it went into effect.
Okay.
And I told you
that's
before
true.
When
it did.
I called, it was a whole other world back then, and we need to change it.
All right, so you don't think there should be due process in there? We should take that out?
Well, I didn't say take it out. I said we need to make changes because back then we didn't have all these illegal storming our borders.
Mm-hmm.
We need to change it. What is wrong with that?
Well, I think that you can change it. You have to have a constitutional amendment that's ratified by the states, so you can do that. But, you know, I think it's dangerous because, you know, if you on the phone right now, you talking to me right now, if you're accused of something that's not true, like Karen Reed, or let's say you're accused of being a little alien, or let's say you're accused of being in a gang or something like that, you have to be able to at least go before, in the case of immigration, before an administrative law judge, which doesn't take that long. That's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Or in a criminal case like Karen Reed, you have a right to be able to say, wait a minute. I'm not what they say I am. I didn't do what they said.
I didn't call you about Karen Reed. You're dancing all over this thing, and I hate when people do that.
Well, no, it's the same.
All I said was change the Constitution to fit the way we live today. The world
is
different.
Well, let me ask you a question.
How can you disagree with that?
Well, I do disagree with that because I think that you on the phone right now,
Because you're a buffoon. You're calling other people buffoons.
Well, no, he got under my skin a little bit. Wait a minute. He called me a name first. I generally don't like calling names, but he called me a name first. But anyway, hang on a second.
No, I don't think.
Wait a minute.
You don't want to listen.
Go ahead. No, I did listen. I thought you were done. Are you done with that last sentence?
Well, you're not going to change what I have to say. You don't agree with it, so what's the use?
Well, no, but just hear me out for a second, because I think there's an area for some common ground here. I think if you on the phone, this lady that's on the phone right now, if you are accused of something that is not true, right? Or hang on. Well, we are talking about that.
You're
we are talking
to change it.
No, we no, are talking.
No,
okay,
that's not
you,
what I called about.
You are being accused of being an illegal alien. You on the phone. So shouldn't you have the right to be able to? Shouldn't you be able to go before an administrative law judge and say, "Hey, ICE is lying"?
No. Listen, if you catch somebody and you think that they're illegal here,
yeah,
and they're not illegal, do you think they would whip out their papers or what?
Yeah, they should. But I mean, suppose ICE is. Wait a minute. Hold it.
What more do you want?
Well, do you think that
what more do you want?
I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that the Dedham police are crooked?
I do believe they're crooked. I think they tried to frame Karen, but that's
all right. Suppose an ICE agent tries to frame you. What are you going to do about it?
I'll try to do the same thing she did.
Exactly. You have your due process. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, but she's an American.
Yeah, but the accusation is the accusation. The accusation is being. Hang on a second. Who determines that? ICE. You're going to believe that? Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Hear me now. You're not following what I'm saying.
If you agree that we should change the Constitution.
No, I don't.
The world we live in today.
Well, we could make some changes. We can make some changes, but as far as the core ingredient of due process. Hang on a second. You're asking me a question, and then you keep talking. My answer is that no, I don't think due process should be changed, because whether it's Charles Manson being accused of something or me being accused of something. Let me finish the sentence. You don't want to finish the sentence. Hang on a second. You, lady on the phone, if you're being accused by a crooked member of ICE of being an illegal alien, you want to be able to defend that, just like the crooked police. Yeah. Are you willing to take... Hang on a second. You're willing to take the word of ICE, but you're not willing to take the word of the Massachusetts State Police? Is that right?
You're not listening to me at all.
I did listen to you. You're not listening to me.
Feel that way? I think I know why you feel this way.
Well, because I believe in the Constitution, unlike a lot of other people.
You feel this way because no illegal broke into your home and raped and killed your wife. Because if that ever happened...
Well, suppose an American citizen did that. Suppose an American citizen did that, because I think the little old lady that came when they were 5 years old is not as dangerous to me as that American citizen who's in a gang who might come in and rape my wife and kill me and shoot me and everything.
By now?
Huh?
She would have papers by now if she came in when she was five.
Well, maybe. That kid that came when he was 5 years old,
he never followed.
I suggest that you read the Constitution before you go.
I just told you.
Hey, what do you think about Bill Belichick?
No, I didn't call about Bill.
No, I'm just asking before I let you go, because I got to get to
other questions. You needing to understand English.
Well, I don't think you understand English, because you have to read
the
Fifth Amendment.
Day.
All right, thank
have
you very much.
Day.
Thank you very much. Just unfortunate that people can't read. I'm sorry that, you know, you want to pick and choose which parts of the Constitution you want to follow. You know what I mean? Which part are you going to follow? Are you going to follow all of it? Are you going to follow just some of it? Or, you know, I guess some of it, the parts that you like and the parts that you don't like. You know what I mean? Look, that lady on the phone, I'm sure she's a very nice lady, right? If she got falsely accused by the crooked Dedham police, I would say that she has a right to be able to go before somebody impartial and say, hey, I didn't do what they said. It was the crooked police from Dedham. If somebody says, hey, you on the phone there, you're an illegal immigrant who is a member of a terrible gang, you ought to be able to say, no, I'm not. I want to go before an administrative law judge. ICE is lying. So to say that I'm twisting it around, no, the principle is the same. The standard is different. The standard is higher in the Karen Reed case, but the principle is the same. You are making an accusation. Somebody impartial has to take another look at it. You can't just take the word of the accuser. This is basic fourth grade civics. That's what it is. It's basic fourth grade civics. I don't think it should be in dispute. And, you know, we as Americans have to defend these principles. We can't start picking and choosing when we're going to use them. And the idea that we haven't got time to do it, we absolutely have time to do it. Because the standard in immigration hearing, which is really a civil case, by the way, is not the same high standard as there is in a criminal case, because in a criminal case, you can be put in prison. In a immigration case, if it's done correctly, you get deported. You don't get put into prison if it's done correctly. So again, these are all very important principles. I stand by them, and I disagree with that last caller. That's the way it is. She has a right to her opinion, but I do think when it comes to these kind of principles, we really have to, you know, defend them strenuously. That's what I would say. That's my point of view. All right. This should be an interesting one. Good morning.
Why would you say that, Paul?
Well, because, you know, I find you an interesting person.
That's funny. Well, let's get on to something really, really serious. Let's go back to Jaws.
Okay.
So I think I was probably 16 when it came out with all my friends. And we went down to Gooseberry Beach in Newport, which is where we normally go swimming, right after we saw the movie Jaws, probably a day after. And then we all sat on the rocks together looking out at the water. And no one was saying anything. We all just sort of looked at each other and hung out and catching a little sun. But basically, everyone was chicken to go in the water. And that was until Bonnie Callahan swam out to the raft. And then all of us looked at each other, and our hormones took over, and Jaws was no longer an issue. And we all dove in the water and swam out to the raft with Bonnie Callahan. So there you go.
So how old were you in 1975? Because I was 15, and I was in high school.
Same age as you.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah, we match up there. Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
No, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. 75. 75, yeah, 15, I'm sorry. I was thinking, yeah, 75, I was 15.
Oh, so are you going to be 65 or are you 65 already?
64, going to be 65.
Oh, you got to sign up for Medicare. I turned 65 on July 24th, and I was like, oh, boy, I don't want to screw this up. So you have to look into the whole Medicare thing. That's where we're at the age. I can't believe I'm on Medicare.
Yeah, you're like 20 days older than I am, so... we have an appointment next week to go sit down with someone to start talking about Medicare because I got to get signed up and all that. So one of those benchmarks you don't want to think about.
Does that mean you're an old buck?
Could be. I'm not going to commit.
I changed the way I said that.
I heard you.
An old buck.
My wife's sitting right here, so you better be careful.
All right. Well, thank you for the Jaws look back. I appreciate it.
You have a good day.
All right. You too. Enjoy the weekend. 508-996-0500. Let's see if I can sneak one more in here. Hello. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi. No, I'm listening to you. You got a lot of patience, I'll tell you. A lot of these people, they call and, you know, they talk about freedoms, but they want to change the Constitution and all this. It's like the Constitution's, we have rules for everybody. You know what I'm saying? To make it fair to everybody. And then you start hearing people call and they're talking about, oh, all the immigrants are rapists and this and that. If you look over the whole country, how many Americans rape and pillage and do all this stuff? You know what I mean? Not every illegal alien does this. And under our Constitution, and I fought for our Constitution in Vietnam, we have rules that you should be able to go in front of a judge and state your case. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, that what you're saying is not controversial. What you're saying is basic. What you're saying is that if I accuse you on the phone of something, I, the government, have to have some kind of evidence to support it. That's all. I mean, I it's not controversial at all. We can't, like, pick, you know, oh, you don't get that. Well, you're an illegal alien. Says who? Who's saying that? You know, if you're going to make that accusation, you got to be able to back it up. That's all. I mean, to me, it's not controversial at all. It's basic civics. And the idea that, well, you know, I'm ignorant and this and that. I'm reading directly from the Constitution that we're supposed to be supporting. I don't understand what the controversy is.
No, but people call and they just go, they don't want to listen. They'll talk right over you. And it's like, yeah, but if something happened to you, you would want that right.
Oh,
so
let me tell
right
you.
It's for everybody.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I told you, when I'm an attorney in private practice, right, you know, I'd be at the family cookout and be, oh, you know, you're an attorney. Oh, yeah. You know, they're always letting everybody out who's guilty. Blah, blah, blah. And then that guy's kid gets accused of something. Yeah. They come crawling into my office, right? Where's the Constitution?
Exactly.
Can the cops do that? I think that cop is lying. You know, they didn't give me my rights. Blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at this guy. I thought you wanted to put everybody in jail, pal. What's the story? Different story.
Exactly.
Different. You know what they used to say? You know what we used to say when we were kids? Different story now. Different story. Sorry now.
That's right. Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. 508-996-0500. He said I have a lot of patience. Well, I did lose it a little bit this morning. I don't like to call people names, although somebody calls me a name, I feel like I want to call them a name back. But I don't really like to get into name calling. I just strongly disagree with anybody who challenges these core principles. Yeah, sometimes there can be some amendments to the Constitution. There have been a number of amendments to the Constitution, but the first 10, the Bill of Rights, they're the core. They're the core of what we stand for, the right to have a free press, the right for, you know, freedom of speech, the Fifth Amendment, due process, the Fourth Amendment to be secure in your homes. And yes, the Second Amendment too. Absolutely 100% on the Second Amendment, the Sixth Amendment. 14th Amendment. These are all key core amendments to our Constitution. And to me, they should be, you know, defended very vigorously. And by the way, I do want to thank that last caller for serving in Vietnam, because you served in Vietnam. You answered the call. You didn't get out of it by saying there was something wrong with your foot. What it reminded me of was the fact that, you know, they came to the Zeitarian Theater, I think it was a couple of years back, and I made a point to go to that. I was kind of a fan of the Beach Boys, but not a super, super strong fan of the Beach Boys. You know, I kind of liked their music, but I wasn't going to, you know, drive very far to go watch them in concert or anything. But then they came to the Zeitarian, and I thought to myself, you know, if I don't go to this concert, they're in their 80s now, I'm going to be sorry, because that's what happened with James Brown. James Brown came to the Z, and I didn't go for some reason. And then afterwards, I thought, oh, man. And then he passed away right after that. And I thought, I can't believe I didn't go to see James Brown right here in New Bedford. Well, I got to tell you, they had a fundraiser the other day at Cisco called Raise the Roof, which I went to. Really fantastic affair where they raised money for the Zeitarian. Of course, they're under reconstruction. They had a little model. They had pictures of what it looks like all torn up inside and what it's going to look like. They had a sample of the new seating that's going to be in there. And so what a great job Miss Gill has done and the people involved with the Zeitarian Theater. And we're really looking forward to that. So the moral of the story is when the Z opens and you see somebody that's going to be there and you think, ah, should I go or should I not go? Just go. I'm so happy that I saw the Beach Boys and that I didn't, you know, miss it like I did with James Brown. So many great, great events there. And they get some big names at the Zeitarian now. You know what I mean? You think of like a James Brown or the Beach Boys, and I could go on to different people that were there. Jay Leno, of course, I went to. So don't miss it. I mean, they're going to be opening, I believe, in 2026. And a little clap to the people at the Zeitarian and a little nod, a tip of the cap to all the great job they are doing over there. Okay, we're getting short on time, so let's try to be quick. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul.
Yes, sir.
The reason why the world is in such chaos is because they don't know God. They're fighting against God, and they don't even realize it. They're not obeying God the way Christ did. They don't follow what he says.
All right. Is there a particular thing that is happening in the world right now that you're homing in on?
Well, yeah, all the wars. They fight
right.
each other for freedom, right? You want freedom, but you're not going to have freedom, because when you die, then you are in hell. Revelation 6.
Right.
You're in prison. Prison and hell are the same thing. The pit, the grave. There you are, looking
all right.
up.
All right. I appreciate it. I got to run because I'm trying to get everybody in, but I appreciate the call. Hello. You're next on WBSM. Hello.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul. Hey, perfect segue with that Beach Boy stuff. This is a musical-related call. You mentioned the Dartmouth concert series a couple of weeks back.
Yes.
And it's kicked off. We're in the third week, and this week is featuring a band called Affinity. And I'm personally connected to them. They do a Journey tribute.
Nice.
And it's probably going to be the best concert of the year. So I'm just bringing it up so you can mention it, get the word out. I hope they're coming from a long way away to play, and we've been waiting to get in there for about 3 years because COVID screwed everything up.
Right. You know, I go to those concerts quite often. I don't go every week, but I go quite often. Haven't been yet, but I'm glad you gave me the tip because that sounds like a great night this coming Wednesday in Journey. You just can't beat it. Are you in the band?
No, but occasionally I do a guest spot with them. Mm-hmm. Help with the backup vocals.
No kidding.
But they're good friends of mine. They do a great job, and I just want everybody to show up for them. The Wednesday is supposed to be a great weather day, and in case it's a short night though, it's only 6 to 8, and they're trying to get a bunch of songs in, and I think it's going to be a great show.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, and have a great weekend.
All right. You too.
All right. That clears the phone lines quickly, 508-996-0500. I think somebody dropped off, so we have a chance to jump in if you'd like to. Let's see, where are we at? I got to go to one more break, so this will be a good time to do the break, and then we'll take your phone calls over the last 7 or 8 minutes. 508-996-0500. Back in a moment. Those summer concerts, you just can't beat them. And I wanted to mention something before, you know, this whole thing about, oh, these people are coming in and they're rapists and killers and murderers and everything else. Well, let me just give you some numbers here, right? In New York City, okay, I'm just picking one city because you could do this across the country. The murder rates have never been lower than they are right now, right, the last few years. Here is the murder rate in New York City in 2024. 377. 377 too many, but 377 murders. Here are the murders in New York City in 1991, way before this whole thing with the immigration stuff. 2,262. Okay, so that's not twice as many murders. That's not three times as many murders. That's not four times as many murders. That's not five times as many murders. That's nearly six times as many murders in 1991 than in 2024. How come? How come the homicide rate hasn't shot up to 2,000 like it was in 1991? Because I think that what's being said is a little exaggerated, right? That's six times as many murders in 1991, way before all this. Way before all this. All right, we just have a few minutes left, so I'm going to have to ask you to go to the shotgun method. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Paul.
Yes. Hi.
I'm not going to call you any names, tempting as it is.
Go ahead.
But you, and I don't mean you personally, just people in general, had to be living on another planet to think in the last 4 years, the Biden administration did not flood this country with 10, 15, 20 million undocumented Democrats.
Yeah, I didn't dispute that, and I don't dispute that.
Undocumented Democrats.
Mistake.
That's exactly what this
mistake.
Is all about.
Yeah, big mistake.
Get them in here. We'll get them on the voter rolls in a couple of years, and we will never lose another election.
But let's just make
have
sure.
A good weekend.
Well, let's just make sure that if you're accused of something, like you on the phone, that you have an opportunity to say, hey, wait a minute, let's make sure that the accusation is true. That's all. All right, thanks very much. Thank you very much for the call. Real quick, hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I just needed to know, where's that Journey band at? I'm sorry, I didn't quite...
Yeah, Wednesday night at Apatagansett. They have a concert series in Dartmouth at Apatagansett. I think you pay by the...
Where is that?
It's Apatagansett, right in Paden Aram. You know that beach near Paden Aram?
No.
Yeah, you can look it up, though. It's, you can just Google Dartmouth Concert, Summer Concert Series, and all the information will be there.
Oh, okay, concert series. Good.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm not here to call you names or beat you up either.
All right, hey, thanks
but
for the call. I appreciate it.
We need to amend some laws.
Okay,
laws
all right.
Need to be amended. That's
well, that's true. That's probably true. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
It's not just the Biden administration. This whole government is useless. They're working, the blue and the red are working hand in hand to totally morph this country. It's very easy to put the blame on 4 years of whoever the masked man was that was pretending to be Joe Biden. But it's the whole government that's doing this. And they're doing this so that they can strong arm a brand new solution. They get you so frustrated so that you'll accept a strong arm solution. And that's what's happening. You're not going to recognize this country by like 2030.
Well,
it's going to be literally unrecognizable. And they're all working together, people.
I think you make a very good point that, yes, I think both sides are, they actually are working together, making people like us fight with each other. That's one thing. And then number two, I think because they frustrate people, the temptation is to throw out the Constitution in their frustration. And you can't do that.
Except the hammer. They purposely leave all the crooked nails up, and they place the crooked nails up so that you'll accept the sledgehammer solution. And it's so damn obvious, and I wish more people would understand that us, we can disagree on certain things, but we are not each other's enemy. This government right now, Republican, Democrat, Trump, Biden, Clinton, Bush, they're all fundamentally useless.
All right, couldn't agree with you more.
Legislation, Auchincloss, Arnold, they're all pathetically useless.
All right, I agree. Thanks a lot for the call.
Later.
All right. No, I think he makes a good point that anytime you get frustrated, you know, if there's a spike in crime, the first thing you want to do is start cutting corners. But, you know, I just gave you the murder rate in New York City. 377 murders last year, 2,200 and some other, I don't see if I can find it, but it's something like that. Six times as many murders in 1991 as there is this year. How come? How come it didn't spike this year? How come it didn't spike last year? Yes, the border should have been closed. Yes, that was a disaster. I agree with all that. But you don't come to the solution by shredding the very document that we're trying to defend. You realize that John Adams defended the Redcoats? That's how much he believed in the Constitution. And to say, well, I'm twisting anything. I'm not twisting anything. I'm reading it directly out of the Constitution. Read the Bill of Rights in particular. The Bill of Rights. The most important part of the Constitution. And by the way, in that Bill of Rights is the Second Amendment. I know we have a lot of Second Amendment people out there. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. There's an old expression. It depends on whose ass the boiler's on. And if you had a wife or daughter or 10-year-old son who was raped and murdered by an illegal alien who was previously convicted in their own country of these crimes, you wouldn't be quoting the Constitution.
Yes, I would be. Because anybody that is accused of a horrendous crime, like, for example, Charles Manson, right? Suppose Charles Manson went in and raped and killed a member of your family. Your feelings about him would be the same, wouldn't it? Hello? Oh, he hung up. Okay. All right. Well, I guess he didn't want to hear any kind of response. Well, how come the murder rate is six times worse in 1991 than it is now? You know, a murderer and a rapist is a murderer and a rapist. Doesn't matter where they came from. And by the way, while we're picking up, you know, Tia Maria, you know, who's working at the fish house, there's a gang member who's born in New Bedford that's in the Latin Kings that's, you know, selling drugs and, you know, trafficking kids and doing all kinds of horrendous stuff. But because we're so focused on Tia Maria, we're not focusing on the American-born criminals. A criminal is a criminal is a criminal. I want to be safe, too. The idea that, oh, yeah, then they go take a shot at, like, members of my family. Of course I would be absolutely horrified, as you would be. But I would be horrified no matter who it was. And, you know, locking up Tia Maria, you know, it's not making me safer, you know? What's making me safer is to get the criminals who shouldn't have come here the hell out of here, 100%. And number two, get the American criminals, of which there's a whole stack of default warrants of American criminals that they've just letting that slide. We should be going after all criminals. I think we can all agree on that. So let's finish on one area where I think we can all agree. I think we can all agree that all criminals, no matter who you are, whether you're a Latin king, whether you're a gang member, whether you're a drug dealer, no matter where you're from, that you should be dealt with quickly as long as the accuser brings evidence to support it. That's all. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And by the way, we had six times as many murders in 1991 as we do now. Six times as many. So the idea that we haven't got time to deal with this, well, we dealt with it in 1991. So why can't we deal with it in 2024? Anyway, thank you for the call. Hope to see you over at the Jaws festivities over there in Fairhaven. This has been a really great show. I really enjoyed this one. I know that the higher-ups here at WBSM like it when we mix it up. I like to mix it up, too, but I don't like to get into the name-calling. I know I